Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
Behind the scenes, behind the glass, there's no sports, it's Matt and Matt, two producers who happen to be homies, just chilling on the junkies, yeah, it's bit season, what a time to be alive, bit season, couple of regular guys, it's bit season, go have yourself a laugh, it's bit season, ha 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 ha.
Welcome to Bit Season episode 117. I'm Drab T-Shirt.
And I'm Matt Valdez.
We got
a special guest on today's show. Later today, we teased it last week, but Brett's going to call in. He's going to update us on his distillery, his Crush Vodka. And also, we were kind of talking about going out, and Drab's, his plan for going out was he'd like to be with the boys. And Brett has some kind of insight on that and how times are changing in college.
No better way to get inside the mind of a 21-year-old than talking to Brett Oliverio. He's got the pulse of the people.
Brett will always be young at heart.
Absolutely. Hey, guys, I hope everyone's having a great week. It is Thursday here. Like we said, episode 117.
I hope everyone's doing better than me.
Valdez is milking this. It's unbelievable. This proves to me
what
he does not believe in negative attention dollars. Negative attention. All ADs are good ADs. This is a man who will bring up every single day on the radio, on the podcast. He wants everyone to know inside and out of what's going on his asshole.
I was very reticent at first to bring it up.
It didn't seem like it.
Here's the problem, is that I knew Eric was an expert in hemorrhoids, except I knew that if I brought it up to Eric, he was going to bring it up on the show. And so,
Why did you say, don't bring this up on the show?
Because how many times have we told Eric not to bring something up and he does anyways?
Well, that does happen a lot.
That happens a lot. So yeah. I knew even if I gave the caveat of, hey, don't bring this up, he would bring it up.
Yeah, so, but you understand, you're now the hemorrhoid guy. Like, you'll forever be the hemorrhoid guy. And you have nobody to blame but yourself.
I know. I thought this was going to be an overnight, one-day thing. But it's turning into a daily update. My guess is on Friday, in the first segment, Eric will ask how my hemorrhoids are doing.
I know. I think you like it.
That's
fine.
It's embarrassing.
We can agree to disagree, but if I would just say, dude, we've covered my hemorrhoid from here to the end of the world. Let's take a few days break, and you can check in on me next week or something. I'll have an update for you. But I think there are two different type of people. I think there's people who like talking about hemorrhoids and people who are completely grossed out by it. And I'm in the latter. It's nothing personal against you. Maybe it's my hang up.
No, I didn't take that personally. But look, Eric wanted an update. And I think Eric considers himself a hemorrhoid aficionado. So he's giving me all of these remedies to fix my problem. And so he wants satisfaction and gratification to be the one that cured me. I think that's
you like that bonding relationship with him. Like, hey, EB, we got something in common. You know, you're the big silly. We got something to talk about.
But Eric doesn't understand how down bad, as the kids say, it's making me.
Do you understand that I'd rather listen to you guys talk golf for three straight hours than hear one more minute of you describing what your butthole looks like?
I'm not describing what it looks like
or feels like.
The discomfort is out of this world, and honestly, it's changed me. And this whole experience has changed me. And I understand. It's not brain cancer. I'm not losing a limb. It's a hemorrhoid. But it has changed me. I mean, I'm a different man because of it. This thing has knocked me to my lowest of low, because it feels so uncomfortable that I can't I can't go a minute without the reminder of that I have this. The pain, not the pain, but the discomfort of just sitting down, of doing daily activities, of just living your life.
Didn't you work out yesterday?
I did work out.
So it can't hurt that bad if you're working out.
No, it's hard to describe. It's not a pain as if someone's pinching you. It's almost like a reminder. It's almost like a hand on your shoulder type thing.
I think
it's uncomfortable. And that's how I would describe the pain. But it's not like this jarring pain, this thing where you're going to wince for hours on end. It's not like getting punched or hit with something.
I think it's always interesting to find out what your boundaries are.
It's like having a sore throat. That's how I would except your throat is your anus.
Yeah, it couldn't be further from a sore throat from my perspective. For my boundaries, I think, you know, you and I are always pretty open on the show, but there's actually things that you know, might be going on in your life that you aren't open about. There might be things going on in my life that I'm not open about. I think for the most part, we are pretty open. I would never, ever, I would walk around here shuffling with my cheek so sore and not tell a word. I would be so embarrassed to talk about my hemorrhoids. Because for me personally, but if I...
But I'm downtrodden about it. That's the, like
I know.
I just think it's a combination of things.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, the embarrassment of having one.
Okay. It is embarrassment.
It's an embarrassing ailment.
I don't know what's more embarrassing than hemorrhoids. Like what can happen to your body that's more embarrassing than hemorrhoids?
Like Crohn's disease.
Crohn's disease is embarrassing.
It's kind of a weird affliction.
Duty's funnier to me.
I know.
Right.
But
it's not good. Crohn's disease, you're right, it's not good.
Pimple, like a pimple. A
massive pimple is embarrassing.
But it's not like painful as this.
Mm-hmm.
But It's an embarrassing affliction. It's an uncomfortable affliction. And I've always equated like hemorrhoids with dirty. You know what I mean? Like you're just like a dirty, also obese. I think obesity has something to do with it. Like because you're so fat, you can't clean your bottom.
Is that what you think hemorrhoids?
I know, but trust me. That's what I initially thought hemorrhoids were.
Oh, I thought you're squeezing too hard.
Yeah, it's a blood vessel thing.
Yeah, you need more fiber.
I know. I was under the impression that hemorrhoids were because you had dirty butt.
Okay. I thought you were a smart guy. I mean, why would you think that?
That's just what I thought. It's because I never experienced hemorrhoids. Mm-hmm. I never had this, and then I had to do my research. And after doing my research, I found out what it was. But that's the connotation that comes around with hemorrhoids. And then I feel like I have that affliction. I know everyone thinks I'm making a mountain out of a molehill.
I mean, I agree 1,000%. I do think you're but you did that from day one. I'm not saying it can't turn into something, right? Where it's like, oh my God, this thing won't heal, and I've had hemorrhoids for 6 months.
But that's also part of it. Is that I thought the healing process was much quicker. So
it's been 3 days.
Yeah, since Monday. Well, but here's the thing: is that it hasn't decreased in size. It hasn't decreased really in discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm worried. Like I don't want to carry this thing around.
Why don't you call your dad? Your dad. This is something you talk to your dad about instead of the whole public radio. Call your dad and say, "Dad, have you ever had hemorrhoids?"
Daddy, I have a hemorrhoid.
I told you earlier this week off air. The day I found hemorrhoid cream on my dad's bathroom counter is the day I lost respect for him.
See,
I don't
exactly.
know. Yeah, and I don't that, know. Exactly. That's just me as a kid now,
and that's exactly what I'm. Try that's the stigma that comes with it.
And that's
what has me so down bad is I know that there's stigma about it. I just can't believe how flippant Eric is about it. You know what I mean? It's almost like and I really wish he would admit it, that he kind of wishes he had one with me. like in simpatico. I honestly think,
I mean, he was like borderline excited to talk about shoving
suppositories
up his booty.
That's also it made me disrespect him a little bit. The fact about how excited
how excited he gets
yeah. about suppositories. I wish you guys would have seen the reaction, the giddiness in his face when he's describing to me about how. The technique he uses to put it in.
He's a weird guy. Yeah. Did you end up using a suppository?
I've used a suppository.
Did you get it working?
No, I can't get it working. My anus rejects it.
Why don't you try it again? You got to lay on your back. Put your feet in the air.
I'm not that flexible. That's all.
Invite Jack over. Have him slide it in there. I bet you. Why don't you have EB do it?
I honestly really thought that when I propositioned him
mm-hmm.
to go into the other studio and I will show you the roid and you can diagnose it and you can tell me what you think your expert opinion that he was going to take me up on the offer. I check raised him to the point of disgust.
Yeah, you also want him to check out your vitiligo. You've shown him that before too. You are a big ailment guy. Like you love showing off your ailments.
I've shown it to him. Well, he's asked to see that one, but but this one I kind of jumped in front of. I feel like he would have asked me at some point. I guarantee you by next week, if it's not gone by next week, or if it's not not shrunk, that he will ask to see it.
He'll come around.
I know he will.
And I'm sure you'll be very excited to be blood brothers with him.
That's also part of the bit. I can tell that this is just grossing you out.
Well, it does. Again, I don't know always where my line is and things that I, you know, are just too much for me because I love talking about, you know, off. I like duty humor and to a degree, but I think maybe it's blood. Maybe it's the blood thing, but I've shared, you know, I shared the story about how I fell in the shower sitting that incident. But
that's also a big fear, which has me going stark crazy. I guess is that everyone says that well it'll pop or at some point it'll pop or you just got to pop it any given moment the thing will pop and it'll be embarrassing and then I'll look like the movie Carrie.
Yeah, I think it's the popping thing, like the. Because
like
I don't.
It's not like popping a zit.
No, I'm not. I don't like talking about popping zits either, and like envisioning someone exploding a zit all over the place. That grosses me out too.
This entire thing has grossed you out.
No, I feel bad for you. You kind of feel bad. You know, you.
I would never. I
appreciate you sharing, and I appreciate you engaging the guys with some good content that they are clearly into.
Here's the thing is I wasn't planning on giving it up unless they needed it. And it seemed Eric needs it.
Aren't you feeling,
also, I'm trying
aren't,
to,
aren't you just feeling like kind of
used?
No, like a bitch recently.
Yes.
With the hemorrhoids
yes.
in my poor knee.
Yes.
I can't, I'm 35, but my, my knees don't work anymore.
I got my,
like, I mean,
there was a point yesterday where I was getting my MRI on my knee, all right? And I'm laying there, my head's out of this tube, and they're doing the x-rays, and I felt helpless and old, more so on the old part, because I am getting an MRI, I can't move, but I need to adjust my ass because my hemorrhoid just feels like it's poking out of my anus.
Did you tell the doctor you had a hemorrhoid and you might need a pause during the middle of the MRI?
I had one of those clicker things that you would get like on Jeopardy to buzz in.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime I had discomfort, I would have to click it and they would stop it. But I didn't click it, but I'm sitting there and I'm going, man, I really want to adjust my anus as I'm telling myself to sit still under an MRI.
What did you make of Jason then volunteering information that he's got a skin tag on his scrotum? That seemed like
I don't know where that came from.
But
the guys seem very engaged when it comes to health problems.
Yeah. Well, it's also old man radio, and I was thinking about this. You are no longer allowed to drone on old man radio. Like, you have had that taken away from you with your arthritic knee. Arthritic knee and your hemorrhoids, which are clearly for old people. You have taken it away because you're filling airtime with all this ailment talk.
I don't know. I don't know if hemorrhoids are old man radio. But
oh, I think generally.
I can't believe the response that
you ever hear 18-year-olds talking about their hemorrhoids. No,
no.
Okay,
but I couldn't believe the response that it's gotten from people.
Do you want to know why?
I have so many people chiming in.
It's relatable
it's almost like a dirty secret that guys go through.
And then not guy. Some guys. I've never had a hemorrhoid. I don't even know what one looks like. I don't know what one feels like. And I don't ever plan on having one.
I was like you. You never know might happen.
I'm 5 years older than you. And you're already having them. So.
Oh, trust me. I feel bad. It's ruined my confidence. It's ruined my day.
Yeah. Even grosser is thinking about a woman.
A female hemorrhoid?
Yeah.
I refuse to.
Plus, Eric's talking about the menstrual cycle. The whole thing literally wanted to make me puke today. I was a little amused by it on Monday, but then day four of the hemorrhoid update, I was like, I'm going to have to puke.
You know, it reminds me of Anchorman when Brian Fantana is on Panda Watch. It's like Eric's on a hemorrhoid rot.
Right.
Like we're day three. Eric now needs his hemorrhoid.
Eric needs more going on in his life. Yeah, I mean, God. he's living vicariously through your hemorrhoid. Yeah. Meanwhile, like I'm sitting here, I'm living vicariously through AWOD in Vegas right now. Going out to U2 concerts, going to all these Super Bowl parties, interviewing hot chicks all the time. I'm calling AWOD every night for updates, find out what's going on.
Yeah. Hey, tell me what hot chick you met.
EB's living through your hemorrhoid. he needs bigger fantasies.
Dude, he's sending me lists of things to buy.
I know he's too involved.
He's very involved,
but he's looking out for you.
I appreciate that.
Well, I think the listeners as a whole want you to feel better.
I know. I appreciate all the messages.
Next week you're going to come talk to us about your paper cut, right? Or did you nicked your face while shaving? Oh, yeah. You're going to spend four segments on that too. You poor baby Valdez, your little bump on your butt. You know, my dad, whenever I used to have an injury when I was young, my dad used to, his hit line.
Rub some dirt on it?
No. Well, his version of rub some dirt on it was, I've got a bigger pimple on my butt.
That's a great line.
It was always his line. I've probably heard him say that a million times in my life, and I'll probably end up saying it to my kids whenever they complain about something small.
Well, I would
now tell, you can say, hey, I've got a bigger hemorrhoid on my butt, Drew. Yeah.
I would tell Father Cahill, well, I have a pimple-shaped thing in my butt.
Yeah. Hey, happy birthday to my dad. February 7th, 1949, he was born. That means he turned 75 years old yesterday.
Oh, congratulations.
Very blessed to have my dad in my life at 75. I get bummed out on days like that when I don't live close to them and living close to your family. So for you people who live, your parents nearby, you still have your parents or brothers or sisters nearby, don't ever take it for granted because, it kind of sucks a lot of times when you think about your parents getting old and I mean, you could literally count the days I'll probably, not to bum you out, but spend the time with my parents left.
I know.
75 is a big birthday.
I'm going to see my mom, mommy, not this weekend, but next weekend for her birthday. I think she's turning 69.
And then I asked,
or 69.
And then, then everyone's got younger. Well, you're also younger than
I'm younger than
but,
you.
But, Cork, well, I have a Cork who's gotten a lot of attention on the show this past week or two. I was talking to him yesterday and I said, he's like the same age as me almost, maybe a year younger. And I said, how old are your parents? He's like, oh, they're like 65. And I'm like, oh, damn, you got like another 30 years with them. I'm the fourth of five kids. So my parents were already old by the time they had me or older.
Hey, speaking of mortality,
mm-hmm.
I wanted to talk about losing a great American this week and I guess the Junks and how the Junks handled it.
Yeah, that really bummed me out, man.
Yeah, Toby Keith's death at 62 really, really hit home. Great American.
You know what's great about Toby Keith is that everybody but the four guys in this room like
has a memory about him
or an appreciation for him.
Yeah.
He was bold. He was fun. He was
spoke his mind.
A
great musician.
But I also didn't. I mean, he wasn't offensive, really. I mean, I saw some people like trying to take some shots at him over his. We're gonna put a boot in your ass on. Like whatever. I mean, have to go back to 2002. Yeah. And the emotions of that time.
I want to talk about Toby, but first I want to talk about how. Basically, when someone dies nowadays,
I know we're just digging for dirt.
Anyone does is dig for dirt, and then it's almost like having a round table discussion. Oh, well, is this guy one of us?
About Toby Keene?
Was he really a good guy? Let's start digging. It's almost like the people are Saint Peter himself. The people who have hindsight about everything. They just go back into someone's past and start digging around to see if they deserve to be in heaven or not.
Right. Obviously, we never met Toby Keith, but Stephen Colbert, of all people, did. I just saw it online, about 5 minutes on his friendship with Toby Keith. And he compared their relationship to when people see a horse and a duck being friends, like on a farm.
Yeah.
He said they were two completely opposite. And Colbert goes, I was clearly the duck. Two completely opposite,
a funny line.
Opposite people. And he said, but Toby Keith completely disarmed him when he went to interview him one time. And he said, Colbert was like, I had all these questions for him about some of his songs.
Was he going to do a Daily Show type interview?
Yeah, he was on the Daily Show back in the day.
Basically, he was going to try and make Toby Keith look dumb.
Maybe look dumb, like some big hillbilly
hick.
Yeah. And he was like, dude, that guy like completely disarmed me, charmed the pants off me. And he said at the end of the interview, we bumped into each other in the hallway. He was coming out of the green room and he said to me, whatever the hell you do on this show, Colbert, you do it pretty well, or something like that, effect.
By the way, that's like great line. That's a great line.
And Colbert's producer at the time got him a pillow for like a Christmas present, like a little office pillow or something that he put on a shelf that had that quote on it. Said Toby Keith, and Colbert showed it on the show. He still has it in his office to this day, or something. But Toby Keith, I mean, dude, he just made fun. Music, and I'm not a country fan. You know I'm not a country fan, but I like Toby Keith.
Toby Keith is one of the country artists that kind of gravitate and cross over into pop culture. You know what I mean?
Like,
it's not,
and
his songs are fun. His songs are, it's almost like they're party songs.
And God bless Cakes. He was trying to lure the junkies in, and he kept referencing the red, which, I would hate for people, the only way they would know Toby Keith is the Red Solo Cup song, because that was like a goof song, clearly. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a serious country song that he just, I mean, that was like 10 years ago that song came out. Yeah. He was already mega famous.
It was 2011, and then if I got remembered for like a goof parody of myself.
They're talking about your hemorrhoid segment.
Valdez died. God, he was really a champion of the hemorrhoid treatments. Like that would tilt me.
I didn't know that Toby Keith's song, I Should Have Been a Cowboy, I saw this yesterday.
It's a great song.
Was the most played country radio song of the 90s. That song came out in 1993, and it got more airplay than any song in the
90s. Even more than Friends in Low Places.
Yes, that's what I was saying. I was like, it has to be Friends in Low Places. No, but it said Toby Keith Should Have Been a Cowboy, which honestly, I didn't even know he was that famous in 1993.
So, but catchy. So catchy.
Well, I'm a big How Do You Like Me Now fan. And I used to think about, because there's that song in there, or that line in there, Living on Your Radio, How Do You Like Me Now? And I used to think about when I was 18, when this girl who didn't like me, that someday she was going to turn on her radio and
hear me.
It's so embarrassing, and I want to kill myself thinking about that song or think about that thought. But that's what I used to listen to on the way home from my board op shifts.
How do you like me now?
Dude, Toby Keith.
Also, you know what?
Big college football fan too.
This is what I love about Toby is, and you mentioned this, and I can't believe you hadn't brought it up yet, but his voice. It's a very manly voice.
Very deep, yeah.
You know, like
Morgan Wallen would kill for Toby Keith's voice. Like, it was so deep and almost natural.
It's a trend now in country that you have like this kind of like a raspy, wholesome singer's voice. But I guess in the early 90s, early 2000s, Toby Keith's voice was just like this baritone, soulful.
But what do you, I saw people blaming Toby Keith for crappy country music now. The country pop that comes out like Florida Georgia Line.
Well, here's the thing is that you have these country purists.
Yeah.
That just love Johnny Cash, mm-hmm. and they love like George Strait, mm-hmm. and then there's this progression between you have the 80s country into Toby Keith, into like Alan Jackson, Chattahoochee, right, where all of a sudden you're starting to get this pop crossover into country, and I think Toby Keith was part of that bridge into the country that you have now. So I think if mm-hmm. you have these old school purists that love George Strait, love Waylon Jennings, you know what I mean?
What you know, you're right on, by the way. But what I am troubled by is the junkies' poor knowledge of Toby Keith. Like, I don't understand. You don't have to know everything, right?
Yeah.
But how do four guys or three and a half guys? No,
I understand what you're saying because it's a pop culture thing. Like Dave Portnoy mm-hmm. doesn't know, I'm going to guess Dave Portnoy probably doesn't know that much about Toby Keith.
Mm-hmm.
But Toby Keith is a crossover. It's a pop culture thing. Someone, a singer died, and he's doing a Barstool video commenting on it.
Do you want to know what EB's frame of reference for? This is what wrecked me. He goes, I go to a lot of tailgates, and I never hear Toby Keith songs. And I'm thinking to myself,
well, yeah,
dude, you go to tailgates in New York. Of course, they're probably not going to big Toby Keith fans. Those Italian guys in New York City on Long Island. Shocker, they're not Toby Keith fans on Long Island. Those guys are so secluded and everything that goes on. Nothing exists outside of New York City for them. There's an entire country, the rest of the world, that loves Toby Keith.
Why? Well, that's what I didn't like the fact that the guys are in such a bubble about it.
Yeah,
here's the thing: is like, okay, Toby Keith died.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how hard is it to go put on a Spotify song of through the greatest hits and just listen to 10 mm-hmm. seconds and say, I remember that song.
I will admit, when the junkies talk about some music stuff as so-and-so died, a lot the stuff that's before my listening era, and maybe that's not the right thing to say because, of course, even mm-hmm. teens now are listening to the Beatles.
Yeah.
But more, maybe not A-listers, but Toby Keith, in my brain, is an A-list music star.
Oh, yeah.
Name. Like, as far as the name goes, yeah. Toby Keith is an A-list.
Oh, yeah. He might even be on the Mount Rushmore of country music.
Right. 100%. Right. So if some of the guitarist from the Smiths dies or something, right? And they got all these memories about them, and I have no idea what they're talking
like
about.
If Jacoby Shaddix died.
Okay. Well, yeah.
I know. I'm just saying. Right. Like, mm-hmm. But that's like all of a sudden the junkies start mm-hmm. Going into mourning about Papa Roach.
No, but I'm talking about stuff from before my time. Like if they talk about someone from the 70s or 80s.
Yeah.
Okay, the drummer of Fleetwood Mac passes away, right? And they go, oh my God. Or Joni Mitchell. They were talking about Joni Mitchell the other day. Uh-huh. Honestly, and maybe this is similar. Like, I could not have a conversation about Joni Mitchell. I barely know who she is.
Right.
Okay.
But you will go research Joni, go listen to a song.
But Toby Keith has been famous recently.
Yeah, that's I know.
Yeah, the whole thing was kind of confusing to me how you don't know a couple of Toby Keith songs. Even the country guy on the show, which is so tilting. How can you cannot say I only like new country. I'm the country guy.
Also, you know what? His patriotism, too. Like, how do you not, like, how right. do you just ignore the fact his patriotism? You don't know about the Statue of Liberty shaking her fists.
That's like if someone comes in and said Kirk Cousins is one of the best QBs of all time, but I have no idea who Brett Favre is. Right?
Yeah,
it's Kirk Cousins, best QB I've ever seen.
Something along
who's
those
Brett
lines.
Favre? I never heard that guy before.
Favre? Brett Favre. Hey, I will say I've been listening to a lot of Toby.
I listened on the way in this morning.
Oh, you did?
Which I mean, I've been listening 4 days.
I know, but his greatest hits, I get a chuckle out of the Taliban song.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know if you can say that in 2024, but
what, the Taliban song?
Yeah. Or? Well, people get offended when you talk about, you know.
I know, just the,
because of, you know, United States probably killed a lot of innocent people in the Middle East in the war against the Taliban. You know, so it's all like lumped together.
I don't know
if you're allowed to like that anymore.
I can't like the Taliban song.
No, I was bummed out because I was listening to that song he sang at the country People's Choice Awards, Don't Let the Old Man In.
Yeah.
But what bums me out is that he wrote that song 5 years ago. Do you know what he wrote it for? He wrote it for The Mule, Clint Eastwood's movie. Okay. Clint Eastwood's 99 years old or whatever he is. And people, when you see that song now, you think of Toby Keith dying of cancer at 62.
So that song,
the old man at 62.
So that song got taken away from Clint. And then,
well, just like he wrote that song for an old man and then it became his song, dying of cancer. Like, that's what bummed me out about it. He just, you know.
I don't know. But if anyone personifies America, love it or leave it, it's Toby Keith.
100%. Are you?
And you know, listen to the Taliban song today.
I'll give it another listen. Yeah, I'll be honest, I haven't listened to it. I know what song you're talking about, but I haven't listened to it.
It's actually, it's so genius because it's almost like a whimsical song about the Taliban.
Right.
It's almost like Willie the Candyman. It's almost kind of like that kind of tone. And it's about a Afghani husband and wife living in North Afghanistan and the Taliban taking over. It's a wild bit that's what he thought of.
Okay.
I'll give it a listen.
I know
today.
The song, but I'll give it another listen on the way home today in honor of Toby. All right. Well, I know we got Brett waiting for us, so let's go ahead and take a quick break here, Valdez.
We're going to get back that, into. And we also need to thank Mike with Don't Sleep Energy Drink. Today's Bit Season is brought to you by Don't Sleep Energy. Don't Sleep supports Matt and Matt. It supports Bit Season. Get some today at don'tsleepenergy.com and use the promo code Bit Season for 10% off every order, not just your first order, every order. Follow and like on all social media at Don't Sleep Energy. I actually got to give Mike a call today. He wants to give me a hemorrhoid treatment. So I'm going to do that after the show. So stick around. We're going to call Brett. We're going to catch up with him. Hey, what's up? It's Matt Valdez to tell you about SeatGeek. I know I'm getting FOMO from seeing everyone's pictures and videos at the Sphere in Las Vegas this week for Super Bowl week. And I think next time I'm out in Vegas, I'm going to have to use SeatGeek to book a U2 concert.
Yeah, Valdez, I don't have $8,000 to buy Super Bowl tickets, but something more on my price point was going to the Hoyas game last Saturday with my father-in-law, checking out SeatGeek, saw the green dots, fired up. We had a great time, even though the Hoyas are terrible. It's just a great app, and it's working great for both of our lives right now. Yeah, go check out U2, and I'll go to the Hoya games.
I know one thing. I got Caps tickets on in my queue. I'm trying to find a game. And I'm going to use SeatGeek to get some nice tickets to that. With over 28 million downloads, SeatGeek is the number one rated ticketing app. There's more than 70,000 events, not just sporting events like Hoyas games or Caps games. They have concerts like U2. They have comedy shows. They got it all.
So here's what you're going to do. You guys are going to download the app. And this is the great thing about SeatGeek is they put all the tickets across the web in one place to make sure you're getting a good deal. Each ticket is rated on a scale 1 to 10. So you're going to look for those green dots that we mentioned. Green means good. Red means bad, of course. And every ticket is backed by their buyer guarantee. And SeatGeek is the only site that lets you return your tickets ahead of the event with swaps.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you don't have to do any kind of shady scalper stuff. SeatGeek is the place for your tickets. And right now, if you enter the code BITSEASON, one word, BITSEASON, you get $20 off tickets at SeatGeek. So just type in BITSEASON and you get $20 off your first purchase with that promo code using SeatGeek.
All right, download the SeatGeek app and let's catch a game.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
All right. Welcome back to Bit Season episode 117. And we teased heading into break that we are going to be joined by Radio Royalty. And we have him on the line. Former Junks producer, co-host of Mediocre Poker, and entrepreneur, now entrepreneur, slinging hot dogs in Greenville. It's Brett Oliverio, Brettsky Barbecue. Yeah. Brett.
What's up, Brett? What's up, guys?
Hey, buddy. Good to hear from you.
Thanks for having me on. This, honestly, I mean, I'm subscribed to like, I don't know, maybe 10 podcasts. And like, Bit Season is by far my favorite podcast. I listen every week. Like, anytime Thursday comes, I'm pumped for Thursday. Oh. It's honestly a great show. I'm not just saying that.
Thanks,
but
Brett.
Like, yeah. You guys do an awesome job.
Thank you. You haven't lost your charm. I just want to say that.
Brett's right in our wheelhouse of like 40-something-year-old guy, former radio, knows he gets a lot of the radio shtick. Yeah. I mean, we're honestly doing a show just for Brett, pretty much. Yeah,
we're microcasting for you, Brett.
I hope you like
it. When you start breaking down like Jason's mood or like mm-hmm. you know, EB's the psychology of EB, like I'm all in. I love it.
Just a producing question for you, Brett. What was the best way to get the guys motivated? If you needed Ooh. Them to get something done or put a little pep in their step. Because we got a big week of Commanders news. We need the guys to bring it this week. How would you get the guys fired up?
I always was like, hey, look, instead of like, hey, this is good for the show, because I wouldn't want them to take that as like, I know more about radio than them because I didn't. Mm-hmm. I would just say, hey, look, for me, can you guys talk about this? Just do it for me. Just so like, happy. Company's happy. Just do it for me. Uh-huh. Rather than this is best for the show, and then that's when they'll fight back. I mean, that just popped into my head, but
because you act like you're getting pressure from above to do something, and so they're saving your ass by doing this by talking to Commanders.
Right. In reality, you know it's best for the show. So you're not going to be like, look, we need to talk about Belichick here.
We really got to
JP bring this up.
Yeah, instead of, hey, man, we really got to hit this topic, you say, hey, can you just bring this up?
You say, hey, look, just for me, can you talk about this? Just because, like,
it's going to be like, my ass if you guys don't do this.
Dreff's furiously taking notes right now, by the way.
and then Cakes, of course, is like, oh, yeah, we got you. Or JP will be like, yeah, we got you. Good idea. Yeah.
Well, I think a lot of times that Brett knows how this feels, and of course, Valdez and I are still doing this every day, is that it's four different guys who want to talk about four different things, like and they're not interested necessarily in what the other guy wants to say. It's really challenging to get sometimes the other guys on board or all on the same page.
Yeah, that's definitely hard. I mean, especially like you're in the middle of like a really good, funny bit or segment or topic, and then like you look over at JP and he's just silent. Or you look over at Jason, you can tell Jason's like, has that look like, I'm embarrassed, let's move on.
I really want to bring up the Hokies defensive line.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's always been that way. That's sort of never changed. But maybe nowadays, because, you know, they're so successful and ratings are so good, maybe they're more likely to just shut off on a topic that they don't want to talk about because, you know, ratings are awesome. You know, money's good. I don't know that you know, for us, I remember like the last few years I was there, we were always like, I think it was like the fan sort of just started. We're a couple years into the fan. Mm-hmm. We were like, it was kind of like, we were grinding to turn the station around or, you know, climb a few places in the rankings. So everyone kind of just bought into that and was, But yeah. Now it's like when you're on top, it's harder, I think, to motivate the guys to do stuff they don't want to do.
I've always felt that the greatest strength and the biggest weakness of the show is how informal it is and how relaxed it is, because they don't take things too seriously. They don't pretend to know things that they don't know. And it's just like listening to your boys, right? But when you need sometimes them to be serious in an actual radio show and like hit the post or there's breaking news and it's like, all right, we got to do it for real this time. Yeah. That's where they struggle kind of a little bit. Where Jason will just blurt out breaking news and you're like, oh my God, we got a whole sounder thing. What are you doing?
But then maybe like you just have to think of it as like, look, you can't have it all. Like yeah. I tell that to our managers who are like looking at employee. I'm like, look, this person's great at one thing. Nobody has it all. So just you kind of just have to take the good with the bad. So maybe that's just how it's always going to be. But one thing you guys brought up either last show or the show before that I thought was really cool that kind of sort of hit home with me was, you know, I think, Drab, you brought it up. The fact that you could always fire back at the junkies. I think it was related to Valdez's Twitter rant, which, oh, yeah. By the way, I was sort of thinking about Valdez on Monday that day as well.
Yeah, you were concerned, right?
I was. I almost texted him.
I needed words of encouragement.
It was very bold.
It was. Yeah. It was. But, like, you know, the fact that what I enjoyed working on the show and working with the guys is that, like, you could, like, I always knew I could fire back or say anything I want on the same level. That, you know, if EB came at me with something and I wouldn't come over the top and sort of raise the stakes. But if I came back at him the same way he came back at me,
yeah,
there would be no repercussions. Everything would be all good. And that is something like you said, Drab, like no other radio show in the country can you do that. I mean, could you imagine producing one of the top morning shows?
Yeah, Boomer, Boomer and Geo.
Yeah, like yeah. Jim then, Rome's producer snapping back at him, like he would be thrown. Right. He'd be thrown in the street so quickly.
Right. Or imagine doing that to like, you know, Don and Mike back in the day, or any big time radio show. Yeah. It just wouldn't happen.
It wouldn't happen.
But that's kind of what makes the show awesome and makes mm-hmm. your job fun, and you feel like.
I'd like to think we've
almost like an
yeah.
equal, but
yeah. But I like to think we've kind of earned that ability, though. You know, you're not just allowed to do that 100%. From day one. You gotta.
That's a good point.
Yeah, to a degree, but that's mostly on the. I mean, the day I started on the show, they encouraged the, you know, to just be myself and chime in. EB was like, "You got to talk more. You got to chime in more. I don't care what it is. You got to jump in there." And that was super encouraging. I just don't think like people think that maybe the junkies have egos. They have zero egos. Like that's the best part about them. Yes, they really have zero agree. Ego.
Zero.
Yeah, and I think they're self-aware. With who they are. I mean, if you look at a lot of like, I don't know, local television personalities or local other local radio personalities and other stations, like they're not self-aware. They think they're more big time than they are. I mean, Cakes knows he's Cakes, who worked at Toys R Us and now loves to play 1-2 No Limit at the local casino. He knows who he is and he's comfortable in it. And then EB like is a family guy who loves going to his kids' games. I mean, he does drive like a $100,000 BMW, but deep down he knows he's just like a PG County family guy, like, who just wants to hang and have a drink and, you know, watch the turf. Like, hey. I don't know. They're sort of self-aware in who they are.
Hey, speaking of drinks, congratulations, Brett, for opening that new bar/distillery and Crush Vodka. Thanks. What were the flavors that you had? The orange, grapefruit, vanilla. Which one am I missing?
Yeah, orange, grapefruit, vanilla, and cherry. So cherry. Perfect for an orange crush or grapefruit crush. And they're also doing like a regular vodka that's like Tito's.
Yeah.
As well.
But Brett's so big time. This is how I know Brett's big time is because this is the same exact game plan that Secrets Jamaica USA does in Ocean City is that instead of buying from a vendor because they sell so many vodka sodas, whatever drinks, they make their own rum, they make their own vodka because it's cheaper to buy the equipment to do your own stuff instead of buying from a vendor. So that's how I know Brett's big time.
I think you're right about that, but the thought for me was not that. It's like, how can we improve and grow our brand? And like, for instance, the regular vodka, which is like, you know, it's a super high quality, just normal vodka. We're donating 100% of the profits to that, to the ECU NIL. So, you know, I think we can sell 10.
Someone, the next Hunter Dickinson wants to play basketball, Brett's going to be waving vodka money in front of him.
I mean, I think we could sell 10,000 bottles, and that's probably about a $100,000 donation.
Caitlin Clark's going to be transferring to ECU.
That'd be sick.
Dude, I tell people in our athletic program, I'm like, look, college kids want fun, girls, and NIL money. Literally nothing else matters to these recruits. They don't care about a weight room or a practice bubble or uniforms. They just care about girls. And NIL, and that's it. And we have the girls here, so it's like, let's just work on NIL money.
Yeah, do you work on the Pirates board or something?
You definitely should.
And Brett's got a big voice down there.
I know. He's most famous man in Green. Well, second behind Mr. Beast, probably.
Yeah. Mr. Beast is a machine.
Hey, so I was texting with Brett and congratulating him on the pictures of the new bar / distillery and everything. And I mentioned to him, I said, dude, doesn't this look a little swanky for college kids?
Yeah.
And he kind of pushed back at me and saying that's the new thing now in college, is that these kids are spending $20 on a cocktail.
I mean, I wouldn't say like normal college kids. Like when you think college, like 18 to 20, like freshmen, sophomore, junior year, it's still like,
let's get
as drunk as possible at the cheapest bar. I mean, it's no different than what it was like. But like second semester, senior year, 21, 22, 23-year-old grad students.
Yeah.
It's all because like to hook up with a chick, like all of us, we had to go to the bar, buy shots. Yeah. Like I remember a million times going to buy like a round of shots and then the girls being like, we have to go to the bathroom, and like they just disappeared. So like we had to like buy girls drinks to try to hook up with them, get their phone number. Now nobody is going to bars to hook up with anyone. You go to bars.
I just don't believe that. I don't believe that. I mean,
let me tell you why.
Yeah. Okay.
Hold on. Is this the grad student or the 18-year-old? I need you to specify.
I'm specifically talking about people of legal drinking age.
Okay.
Yeah. So like 21, the senior year of college.
Yes.
There is no seniors in college anywhere that are going to the bar to try to hook up with anybody. They go to the bar to go out around midnight, hang with their friends, take pictures, get tipsy, get drunk, get awesome pictures for their Instagram or Snap, make somebody jealous. And then it all is in the DMs where they're inviting people over. I mean, that's why bars revenue's down across the country, because people aren't going to bars to hook up. The hookup is all over Instagram. So groups of girls are going to come here, put on a nice outfit, take awesome pics for Instagram, chat with their friends, flirt with some guy over social media, and then he's coming over later that night.
And then, so they're going back. Do they have house parties back at their place, or is it just
like a one-on-one hookup thing?
It's a little bit of both. They're going back to their house a little earlier, and then people are coming over. They're continuing drinking, and then I think that's when it happens.
So like they're only really going out to the bar for an hour, basically.
A couple hours during the day.
Okay.
They
have a checklist almost of things they do and flirting at the bar or hooking up at the bar. The sole purpose is not on that checklist.
100%. Like if you're at the bar with your friends and some dude walks up to try to meet you, it's like, get out of here. What are you doing? Like you meet people over social media.
But this is a dumb question. How do you get their IGs? Like how do you find these girls? Like if they're sitting across the bar and you're not talking to them.
The same way Lil Wayne has found two of our servers on Instagram and just shoots a DM, shoots their shot, and tries to make it happen.
Hold on. Lil Wayne is asking your servers to come sip scissor with them?
We've had two servers on FaceTime with Lil Wayne, and I'm like, how are you FaceTiming with Lil Wayne? They're like, look at this DM he sent me. He just like tried to find hot.
Is it explicit or is he just cruising for bait?
No, No, he's normal. It's like a normal guy.
Yeah.
Like if
he just finds them tagged or it's in his algorithm or whatever it is, and he sees they're at, and then it just hits him up.
I think the last one I saw, he's like, he like liked one of their photos, and then on Insta, he was like, he just like sent a heart, and then they wrote, "Hey, big fan," and he was like, "Come to my show next time I'm in NC."
Oh my
hey,
God,
Brett, our guy Michael Marr, who works on the show, he's 24, so he's a couple years out of college, but he's constantly on Snapchat, and that's how he talks to girls. He always says all the girls are on Snapchat, and I look at his phone, and he's having 20 conversations at once with different girls, and it's just like I don't even have Snapchat. It's such like a foreign thing to me. Like, how are all these people finding each other on Snapchat and just having lame conversations?
It sounds like
just days at a time.
It's just it sounds like you're just spinning plates. You're doing you're doing a big juggle show for everyone.
I mean, it's basically a full time job. I mean, what they're doing is they're like, you know, on Insta or you know, now it's not like, hey, let me get your number. It's what's your Snap? And then there's a whole psychology of like how to chat on Snapchat. So like you read someone's message, but you can actually read it without letting them know you read it, cause you only swipe over the screen 60% of the way. I mean, there's a whole,
it's a whole game.
What a
metagame.
I just wonder, it's just, that makes me sad. That's all. Because if I was a student at ECU and I'm going out for the purpose of meeting, hooking up and hanging out with chicks and flirting, that I have to compete with Lil Wayne. Like, that's just, I have no
shot.
That's
got to be rare.
I just have no shot.
You just have to make sure your Insta and Snapchat game is strong. Well, if your Insta and Snap game is not strong, you just have no shot.
You get left behind.
What's a strong Insta game? Like, I don't even know what a strong...
Stories.
It's just like, when to, you know, I think it's like when to like things, like not liking certain photos, you know. A big thing is like, you know, if you're going to like try to hit on a girl and you follow like 100 people and 75 of them are like bikini models, I think
that's a red flag. That's called the drab.
No, that's called the AWOL. That's why he was getting no girls, because he was desperate.
But look, freshman, sophomore year, some of junior year, they're still going to the bars. And I heard you guys talking about making out against the wall. Like, that still happens. But like, when you're of legal drinking age.
I was going to say, there'd be no hope left in the youth of America if you couldn't have a drunken makeout against the brick facade of a bar.
Just like beer breath,
sick breath.
By the way, nobody's smoking cigs. Like, if you smoke cigs now, then you literally have zero shot of any girl.
I wish cigarettes would come back. I was never even a cigarette smoker. I just like the idea of people smoking cigarettes.
Well, gave you an excuse to go outside.
Conversation,
to go outside, get away from people, have certain conversations 100%. With people. That's all it was about. It wasn't about the nicotine addiction.
You want to go outside and zing with me?
That doesn't have the same vibe. Hey, let's go Juul together.
Look, Valdez, back to what you were saying, I could be wrong, and this bar could be just, this distillery could just be filled with a bunch of old people, and then I'm just going to hate it. But I don't think that's going to be the case. I mean, the name of the game is going out with your friends, feeling hot, taking photos, getting drunk.
You have a better idea of what the people want than I do, but I just still remember being poor at 21 and not being able to afford anything. Like I would go need the 25 cent rails. I was still doing that at 21.
Yeah.
But dude, these kids are spending $300 on a Morgan Wallen concert ticket they're not spending money on like clothes or shoes. They're spending $500 on a Drake ticket.
I don't know anything, but this is what I remember from my college experience. So Arizona State is in Tempe, right? When you are younger, you're going to all the dive bars and you first get your, like, you know, underclassmen. But when those girls were 22, 23, they were going to the clubs in Scottsdale, wearing their mini skirts, getting courted by like 28-year-old guys.
Right. Because when the girls are 18, 19, they get funneled into the bars where everyone's 21. And then when they turn 21, all of a sudden they're going to the downtown club.
At some point, they're kind of over the college scene and they want a nicer place, but they're still there. And that's what I'm guessing Crush is going to be like. It's the nicer place in town where they get the upscale drinks.
Yeah, you definitely nailed it. And that starts where, like, that started maybe 22, 23, 24. Now yeah. It just starts earlier because of Instagram. So I think right when you hit 21, like, you don't want to be somewhere where someone's throwing up on you. And, you know, because it's all about the photos. And
hey, Brett, has the Sup Crush changed at all, the taste of it? Because I know that you guys use, I think, Sierra Mist, right? And then they changed to Starry. And now I'm assuming you're going to use the Crush vodka as well. Is the taste different? I'm guessing it tastes better, of course, but is it different? Can you tell the difference?
Yeah, I mean, I could give you like 10 reasons why like our flavored vodka is better than Smirnoff or Absolut,
give me a couple. No, I'm generally, give me a couple. Come on.
Okay. So like our vodka, like if you're mixing, the marketing behind it's like if you're mixing vodka with fresh squeezed juice, like we're the vodka you should be using because you know, if you're having like a bunch of citrus drinks, you kind of get that like that sour acid refluxy feel.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, that's because one, there's a lot of citric acid in oranges and grapefruits and lime, but like most of these vodkas have tons of citric acid, tons of glycerin, tons of sugar, where our vodka is literally about as premium of a vodka as you can make, but with like no sugar, no artificial flavors. Just basically vodka and an awesome clean flavor without that, like, you know, sort of acid refluxy feel. So the taste is just better. It's just cleaner, easier to drink, but still 80 proof.
Will college girls be able to taste the difference immediately?
Yeah. Or is this for a refined palate? Yeah.
I mean, not really. I mean, vodka, look, making vodka is like making hot dogs. Like it's not like high end bourbon. Yeah, You're not aging it. It's like, it's going to be, it's going to be good, but it's not like a,
what do you got planned, stealing from Dewey this year for Sup Dogs?
Dude, the name of the game. If you're in the restaurant or bar business, the name of the game is stealing ideas, but then like steal the ideas, but make them better.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's what I've been good at. Yeah. Like stealing the swirl from Uncle Julio's, but making it better.
Yeah.
Stealing the crush from Dewey, but making it better.
Yeah. Has anyone stolen from Sup Dogs?
Yeah. Yeah. Is anyone stealing from Sup Dogs?
I mean, it's nonstop every day, but they steal and make it worse. And that's what annoys me. It's like steal our ideas, but like make them better.
Yeah, because it makes your brand look bad because it's associated with your brand. Like what, or someone's trying to do like a hot dog cart or something?
I mean, anything from hot dogs to like social media stuff to like concerts and I don't know, crushes, drinks.
They're trying to do another Doggy Jams. I swear to God, if our company got a hold of Doggy Jams, they do one every month.
That's true.
Dude, it's hard to make money though in those big concerts.
I know,
are so expensive.
I know you told me before. It's about the concert itself is about branding and giving the college people a good time, and they associate a good time with Sup Dogs.
Are you guys doing one in a couple months?
They have a big announcement coming.
Yeah.
Do you want to give
big
us
big announcement?
Do you want to give
up.
Us a preview? Or is that too hush hush?
I mean, what? I mean, we're bringing we're bringing Shaq back. Shaq loves coming.
Yeah.
So he loved coming to Greenville. So he's coming back, and then there's a famous like rap producer who's done like every big Drake song and Travis Scott. His name's Murda Beats.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to be the opening act. So we got Drake and Murda Beats and
Diesel.
He's a cool guy.
Yeah.
It's just good for our brand to like be associated with Shaq.
Of course.
Yeah.
Dude, you've like found a workaround because, you know, when Shaq he gets involved in stuff, like when he was with Ring Doorbell, he owns the company, right? But you bring Shaq, attach it to your brand as Diesel, but everyone knows him as Shaq. And then he comes and does the concert and it's like, oh, Sups is really cool. They're in with Shaq. It's brilliant.
Thanks, man. But you know what's cool about with Shaq? Like, he's somehow, like, bigger and cooler than ever, and he's in his 50s. But it is.
Yeah.
And it is fun when he's on stage. And it's a little weird when he's on stage being like, is everyone getting fucked up tonight? Like, it's weird to see him go from like, the spokesman for Office Depot to like DJ Diesel, where he's like,
he has the shakaroni to let's get fucked up.
Yeah, but like he's like a Renaissance man. Like the guy can do it all,
dude. Yeah. You're killing it, man. Yeah.
Have you been at Sup Dogs longer than you were at JFK?
Right about the same time. Yeah, we've been there. I've been down here like almost 12 years. But jeez, one thing I will say is like when anyone leaves any job, they always think like, including me, and I don't remember specifically thinking this way, but I'm sure I did. Anyone thinks like, they're not going to be able to replace me. the show will not be the same, or the office won't be the same.
Yeah.
But like when I left, like the show has only gotten better. I think the two of you on air are way better than when Dadis and I were on air. Like,
well, I can barely speak.
I think you're hilarious.
Brett, you're not forgotten. People bring you up all the time.
Well, they're constantly compared to you, Brett. Yeah,
nonstop.
I think you win that. I think you're funnier than I am. I think you're just as good of a producer. I don't know. I'm just being honest.
No, so well, thank you, man. You're a rock star. You're an awesome producer, and even better guy. Yeah,
do you miss radio?
I miss like hanging out with the guys, like after the show, before the show. Like, I don't miss the job itself, but I just miss like the relationships.
Yeah, when do you get that? Like, who do you have that relationship with there? Because you're surrounded by 21-year-old girls, 21-year-old guys, chefs.
And
your wife's involved. So.
And you're a boss boss too. Yeah. Like, so it's kind of hard to be buddy buddy with.
When do you get bro time at work?
You just don't. I just don't. It's not like I have friends here. Like, I just work and staff and work 24 hours a day and hang out with my family.
Other bar owners? Do you guys like? I'm guessing. Do you guys ever get it? Really?
No. I mean,
it's not hanging out with still
no secret.
Life.
Like the bar owners around here are cool, but like, you guys always say like the worst people are in radio. Like it's the same way in the bar and restaurant. Like nobody smart has ever been like, I want to open a restaurant or bar. Like, right. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it is what it is, but I just kind of miss, and I miss the events too. Those were fun. Like I still look forward to like Junkies Poker Open and Junkies events. Cause I hope to get back to go to them.
Well, you can come to the Junkies 30th anniversary party at the Borgata, which was what JP said he wanted to do today for their big anniversary. Yeah. He goes, maybe we could go back to the Borgata. I'm like, oh my God, come on. Can we do something better than that? I love the Borgata, but 30 years is a long time
in radio. What?
Are you guys going to do a 30th?
Well, we're a couple years away, I think. It was brought up today.
Really? It'll be here before you know it.
What's the deal with Rom? I feel like Rom needs a...
I know.
Like from a producing angle. Are you not psyched for him to call in?
No, I yelled at him the other day about it.
We tell him all the time to call in. He's from afar.
Brett, a week ago, we had... a live show, 106.7 The Fan versus the Team 980. Rom did not come. I texted him 2 hours beforehand, said, what time are you getting there? And he sent a picture of his baby and said, tried to get permission from Putin in waiting. Her face says, niet. And so, and I go, dude, Rom, you're not involved anymore. You don't call in. What's going on? And then he does this woe is me bit. I don't know.
We can't find any good replacement characters.
Yeah.
That's hard. I mean, that's always a challenge, right? Like, I don't know. I do miss like the Rom days, and I think like BDK in his prime, and some of those other guys. But the show goes on, I guess.
Yeah, we still. I mean, we got good guys. You know exactly how this is. We got great group of guys here. You know, we're getting older and they're getting younger, so it's kind of weird. You know, like Michael Marr is 24. But they're also, it's all the stick circles are about sports.
So much Commanders talk.
Plus, you always have to worry about like how you say things and you don't want to offend anyone. And it's different than it was, 12 years ago when I was there. It was, everything was offensive. Like,
right.
You just go for somebody's jugular if you're in a shtick circle. Where now, like, it's an HR complaint. So it's just a different world.
Yep. Well, Brett, you're the man.
Yeah,
dude.
You're
Thanks
the
for
man.
Spending some time with us. And we love you, dude.
No
we
problem.
Love you.
All right, and if we get ABC stores in Virginia, I'm definitely doing a nice advertising package with you guys.
Science.
100%.
With us or the station?
I can't afford the station. Oh, but yeah.
Hey,
sure.
Michelle Manti is going to stick her claws in you.
You'll be getting a call soon.
Yeah.
That's the lead.
Yeah.
All right, bud. Thanks, dude.
All right.
Later,
Brian. All right, guys.
We're going to do this awkward bit where we got to hang up on you from another room. Oh, Drab, that was nice to hear from Brett. That was carving out 30 minutes out of his
day.
I feel
like I could talk to Brett for 4 hours about nothing.
I know. I had some more Junkies questions, too, I wanted to ask him.
What kind of questions?
I don't know. Just
producing help questions.
I need a lifeline. Just if he's been listening to the show, if he's noticing things about the show.
Do you think Brett listens to the show and critiques it from a producing angle?
I think when you have that in you, you can't get it out.
Right. That's fair. I mean, you put his time in. Yeah. No complaints.
I think. Well, when you listen to shows. You're kind of producing in your head, aren't you?
For sure.
I definitely am. If I'm listening to Jim and Sam whatever.
I don't listen to the Junkies when I'm not working.
Oh, I don't listen to them either.
Right, yeah. You got to unplug.
It's just, it's your job.
I wait for that text from you.
my text? What? Hey, what does my text
Everybody
say,
knows what that text says.
What's my text say?
No.
What does my text say, Dad?
The guy's got nothing.
I don't say that.
Not in a long time, you haven't.
I don't say that. Hey, speaking of the guys, mm-hmm. we haven't done this in a while. It's our tilts of the week. Some things that we're
I have a tilt for sure.
Some things that we're noticing about the show or about the guys and specifically. My tilt, I can lead it off. My tilt of the week, it might mm-hmm. be the same as yours.
Okay.
Is I'm noticing of late. And maybe it's just a trend that JP has been is starting to get super obsessive about social media. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not saying like posting a bunch of stuff because he does great with that. He's really trying to engage, but
he's obsessed with the amount of comments.
Yes.
Something he posts.
Yeah, I wanted to get to that.
Sorry.
It's the comments.
Mm-hmm.
It's the engagement. So he's taking the engagement and just kind of reading it on air, and it's just weird to me.
It's
almost like, hey, we're talking about the Dan Quinn thing. I posted about Dan Quinn yesterday. We kind of gave all of our opinions. There's not that many good calls here. Here's what John in Rockville tweeted us about the Dan Quinn, and he'll just read the comments regarding whatever topic it is. He's also choosing, and I've noticed this, he's choosing topics on which have gotten the most engagement on social media, whether it's Facebook or
to bring up on
Instagram,
the show.
To bring up on the show.
Yeah, I mean, not necessarily with something that does well on social media, because those questions, JP's doing a great job, but those questions are always so rudimentary to get engagement.
Yeah, it's kind of,
you could
it's,
just,
it's
you,
like,
and it
it's
doesn't
like
make, it doesn't mean it's great content for the air. You could just say, Caleb Williams ? And you would get 600. You would get 600 comments. You know,
but I'm just noticing that he's going to the comment well.
What I'm noticing is that he brings what he sees on social media, the interactions, and it's because Eric runs the phones and Jason has the vibe machine if he wants it, and JP runs. You know, he kind of runs the Junks Radio for the most part, and the Facebook page. You know, he's doing a ton of posting on there. So I think that he kind of sees that as his baby,
uh-huh.
and that's his information well. So when he sees, so-and-so tweeted me today, and I said, call in. By the way, that's my minor tilt of the week, is telling someone they'll get on the air
if they just call it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not how it works.
I had to tell, I go, JP, You're doing great. Please don't tell people they're going to get on the air just by calling in. There's a whole process that goes through that and making sure that they're going to add to the show. Just because they want to talk about the arena on Twitter doesn't mean they'll be a good caller on the air.
And I think it's also, it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. Like, mm-hmm. like if JP says, I'll read your comment on the air, he's hoping that he'll get more engagement on social media from people.
Well,
it's
he's
kind,
also
it's like a yin and yang.
He's
it's
also
a symbiotic relationship.
It's a minor, pat himself on the back move too. Because
what do you mean by that?
Because he's putting out the poll, right? He's putting out the questions.
Yeah.
Then he sees a response. So he's like, oh.
Look at the response I got.
Yeah, we got this response on social media about something. So it's like.
It's almost like a look-see over here.
I want, and JP does a great job having his own opinions, but I want more so his opinions, or just, you don't have to.
Like,
not everything has to come from social media.
Like, I don't need
not
him.
Not that it
to
does, but it has
and
been.
Also, does he realize, like, these people that are commenting, you know, a lot of it's snark. A lot of it is they don't mm-hmm. really necessarily, it's not how they feel. I'd rather have a person on the phone mm-hmm. giving their actual opinion than just some keyboard warrior. I don't know. I think there's definitely
a spot. For sure, about reading comments on social media and having it be a part of the show. I think that we'd be foolish to turn our nose up at that.
No, I'm not saying turn your nose up.
But it is interesting the way like it kind of comes into conversations with JP sometimes.
I've just noticed that there's been an influx.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that. Like you said, I'm not against commenting or bringing up comments, but I'm noticing like if opinions run out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, okay, we got some over here. Let's go ahead and toss these into the fire. That's just something I've noticed.
All right, here's my minor tilt of the week. I don't think it would be a major tilt, but it's something that I think bothers me a little bit.
Okay. Is this a you problem or is this a Junks problem?
Well, it's a me problem because it bothers me.
Okay.
The Junkies don't like the sports radio business. and it ricks me. They take
okay.
They
explain.
So they came up in an era where they were on talk radio, and they came up. They were on music radio, and back in their heyday, the shows that they were fond over were guy talk radio shows. Howard, maybe ONA, Don and Mike. They would listen to, and that's really when they were cutting their teeth. That's the kind of stuff that they liked, especially Eric.
Yeah, but they
and Cakes.
Yeah, but they were a sports talk at its origin.
Yes. I guess.
Yeah.
But they still don't like the sports radio industry.
Okay.
They dismiss, like, they don't know anything that's going on in sports radio business.
Like, they don't know their peers.
They don't know who's in what market. They don't know what shows.
They don't know what markets.
They don't
big.
Even know the names of the other stations uh-huh. necessarily. Like, they might know, recognize call letters. But I guarantee you, if we said, "Hey, JP, what's the station in Chicago? What's the Chicago station called? What's the who's on in Detroit?
What are the two stations in Boston?"
They just have no interest in it, right?
Uh huh.
And then, you know, I like EB's pride in the Junkies. I do love that. But when we dismiss other people, especially guys who work for our company, and we trash them. It kind of ricks me because we're teammates. Like, we're teammates. Boomer Esiason probably doesn't really care about us.
I was going to say, didn't he say he hated Boomer?
He said he hates Boomer. Now, I don't know where that comes from.
He doesn't like his show.
He said Boomer was a douche to them at the Super Bowl, but I think Boomer Esiason was on our show a few years ago. I'm pretty sure, like, maybe 5-10 years. Boomer's only been on once or twice because he's on at the same time.
Do you think it could be Commanders related? Because remember, Boomer has some big swings and whips.
No, because he doesn't
Commanders.
Even, Eric, I don't think he even remembered that stuff. We had to remind him of it earlier in the week. But they didn't, the Cataldi thing kind of, you know, look, Cataldi wasn't nice to them necessarily, but that was a throwaway thing.
Well, that whole thing
was a throwaway by Cataldi.
Well, also that ricks me is the fact that they just let Cataldi just kind of talk crap about them without.
Well, I had to go
be the hitman.
But Cataldi wasn't, I mean, he just heard a clip, right?
I know, but
mm-hmm.
it's a radio war. It's almost like a mob war. You gotta bring your guns to the table. And then they just let Cataldi, oh, he's old, whatever. You know what I mean? And then I had to go do all the heavy lifting. I had to say he's broadcasting from a senior center. I had to bring up the fact that they had to stick mm-hmm. a woman on his show because he was so misogynistic. And I'm sure that really felt good about himself, is that they put a woman on a show.
Well, but here's the thing. Like, I don't think they even knew Cataldi retired.
Yeah, I know.
Cataldi's a giant in this. You know, maybe giant's not the right word. But, he was on the air for a long time. And you would just think that you would know more about what's going on in your industry. They don't know. Not that I know a lot either, but you got to have some interest in what's going on in your business. And the whole Super Bowl thing is part of it. Like, they have no interest in going to Radio Row and hanging out with their peers in the industry and meeting people. Like, I don't know if they think they're above it, but they don't want any part of it. Like, I would kill to go to Vegas right now.
Yeah.
Not necessarily to go party and do all that stuff, but I like the buzz of it.
Your show has buzz. You were just named number two on the Barrett Sports Media. So you got
you want to meet people like you talk to all the time? Don't you want to
put a face with the name? Yeah. Develop a relationship.
Oh, hey, Gio. Nice to meet you, man. I'm one of the junkies. We're on the fan show in D.C. Yeah. Oh, dude, you guys are killing, man. You guys have been killing it for a long time. Nice. Like, they don't have any of those relationships.
They view the trip as a burden almost, and not necessarily as networking.
If it was an Odyssey meeting on Capitol Hill and all the sports radio stars from across the country, they would loathe that. They would hate that. If it was downstairs in the they would be, oh, my God, we got to go down there and talk to guys. Yeah, I got a tea time or something. You know, that would if we were to meet all the other producers,
share ideas.
I just think it would be fun. Yeah, it would be cool. They just don't have
swap stories.
Yeah, they're just not that into their company, which is fine, I guess. And B, the industry as a whole.
Did you kind of get that when they kind of blew off the Randy Moss?
Well, EB said it wasn't funny. I'm not going to tell EB what's funny or not, but the idea of it is funnier than maybe what was going on in the air. And also, that's when he took a shot at Boomer. He was like, those guys stink. That wasn't funny. And I was like, well, we didn't really play the audio. It was just kind of interesting. But that happened on our show.
A booking mix up.
And it's a producer nightmare.
The audio is not necessarily funny, but the booking
mix up. Yeah. And then it's a gateway for you guys to talk about Bob Ryan and JP's thing with him, Bosch, years ago, or the Michael K. Williams.
Joan on Drab.
Yeah.
That type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I understand.
That's a minor tilt of the week. It's probably just because it's Radio Row week and I'm having FOMO a little bit.
I definitely have FOMO too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm jealous of Adam living his best life out there.
I told Adam last night, I said, dude, this is the best week of your life. Don't ever forget it and take it for granted. He was at a U2 concert at the Sphere last night that he didn't even pay for. Somebody bought his ticket for him.
Who did they give him out?
No.
The media members?
No, they bought him.
Oh, that's.
I have no idea.
Who bought it for him? That's nice.
Michael Phelps.
Oh.
Yeah.
That is nice.
Yeah.
Good for A-Watt.
But dude, he's going to all the parties. He's talking.
I know. I see him doing all the promo pictures.
I think either tonight or last night he went to Shannon Sharpe's party.
He was in Club Shay Shay.
Yes, he was in Club Shay Shay. Probably doing the nightcap show with Chad Johnson there, and he's probably just standing there. He's gonna be standing. Hey. I go, dude, that's awesome. There's gonna be so many big sillies there.
Yeah. I saw that he interviewed Angie Agar.
I know. We talked a lot about that. If you guys know who Angie Agar is, Awad was smitten by her. Actually, he said she may have been smitten by him, which I might call shenanigans.
Drab has this obsession with Angie Agar, and he tries to make it, and he tries to put it on everyone else.
Everyone hates Angie Agar. Everyone hates Angie Agar, and I understand her bit. Like, I understand that she's probably not that annoying, and she's not mean in person. She's probably super nice. She's just doing
a character.
Yeah. Yes, she's a snarky character.
But whatever it is, Drab always tries to say, like, he says, Valdez, you and Angie Agar are two peas in a pod, or something like that. He said, didn't you say that? Or like you said,
I think I did. I was hyping you up.
Like, Angie Agar is your soulmate.
I don't know.
I didn't understand that. I actually think Drab
told that to Awad last night.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, you've gotten past Awad. Awad flirted with her.
I know.
Or complimented her, and she said,
He flirted with her? What did he say?
Awad, at the end of the interview, they were talking about becoming an influencer or making stuff go viral.
So Awad had her on his show.
Yeah, he grabbed her, and she was on.
For like, how long? 5 minutes? 10 minutes?
10, 15 minutes, he said.
Okay.
And at the end of the interview, Awad said, you know, just to go to be viral, you need to go viral. You need two things, or to be an influencer, you need two things: have a great personality and a great smile. And Angie, you got both of those. And he said she was swooning.
Did she blush?
Yeah,
I got to go back and listen. And then to he that. Said, I, like, gotta, I can hear it in the laugh.
And then he said, like, I don't know, an hour or two later, he saw her across the radio row, and she did like the flirty wave with him and said, "Hi, Adam."
Yeah. You just made me jealous.
I know.
And then, I'm jealous of Adam now.
And then he said, he goes, "Dude, I'm telling you, ever since I got a girlfriend and I got rid of this stench of desperation,
yeah,
women have been coming at me nonstop."
I know. We said that like two or three episodes ago.
I guess it's happening in Vegas.
of all places.
Yeah. With celebrities.
You know.
Right. All right, guys. Let's get into a massive game on Sunday.
Yeah, the big game.
We don't do sports breakdowns on the show, but we are, of course, going to give you our Jumbo Lump Parlay.
Yes, we got to give you the Jumbo Lump Parlay, brought to you by Crab Sports, Maryland's number one local sports book. Crab Sports is the only sports book that offers special boosts on parlays on all the DMV teams. We're partnering with local hero brands and businesses to bring you the best localized betting experience. Make sure you sign up now for the Jumbo Lump Parlay. Crab Sports wants to remind you to please play responsibly. For help, visit mdgamblinghelp.org or call 1-800-GAMBLER. Must be 21 years of age or older. Use the promo code BIDDIES when you download the app. Click on the screen for all the boosts. I know last week I did not hit my Jumbo Lump Parlay. I picked the Terps. It will be the last time I take the Terps, Strab.
All right. I'm gonna call you out on that if you pick them again. I hit mine.
I know. You're on fire.
Same song. Different week. Drab hits. Valdez loses.
It's getting annoying.
I would be annoyed if I was you, too. So I'll go first because we all know mine's going to hit. 49ers have a weak secondary, so I think this is what I envision happening. We're going to get like a 25-yard pass play, and they're going to get maybe Kelsey, and Kelsey's going to get tackled on the 2-yard line, and we're going to get a walk-in touchdown by Isaiah Pacheco. Touchdown, he's minus 125 right now, so that is going to be my side of the parlay. Hey, look, we're just going for an easy win here, the Super Bowl. Let's cash our money and keep it rolling and get back on track. So my side is Isaiah Pacheco, anytime touchdown, minus 125.
You know what? I like running backs, too.
All right.
And that's why I'm going with Kyle Juszczyk, anytime touchdown score. What? What are you doing?
What about McCaffrey? If we do those two together, we could probably even money bet.
I like Juszczyk because I'm telling you, this is how I see it. I see the Kansas City Chiefs locking down the wide receivers on the outside, very impressive with their corners, and focusing all of their attention on McCaffrey. I think Juszczyk is kind of the forgotten item in Kyle Shanahan's offense.
He's forgotten, all right.
I expect creativity around the goal line. I expect fullback screen passes. Juszczyk, I got to give love to the former Raven.
Okay.
I got to give love to the former Raven.
All right, now it makes sense.
I've seen his hands in person.
What is that?
It's plus 750 anytime touchdown score.
All right.
So I love Juszczyk to find the end zone, maybe a little fullback run from the 1-yard line, maybe a check down that he bolts into the end zone. I like Juszczyk. And plus, the storyline.
I know what this is.
All the jackets out there.
I know what this is. This is the NFL, the Super Bowl is the college football version of the Hawaii game. Valdez has lost all his money. We're down to the wire here as far as football goes. He's trying to make all his money back on a long shot.
I gamble responsibly, like Crab Sports encourages everyone.
All right.
But yes, this is
your Hawaii game.
I need to hit about five square and Kyle Juszczyk.
All right. Well, look, hey, if Pacheco and Juszczyk score a touchdown, we're going to be back in that green and everyone's going to be feeling good.
Yeah.
All right.
You know, I'm going to make a jacket for you just like it's white.
All right.
You're going to have to wear it on Monday when he has a TD.
Okay.
I should have put an Usher prop in there.
All right. Well, still,
I'm a big Usher guy.
I know you are. We didn't get a chance. We'll talk about it on the Junkies tomorrow.
Okay. Good.
Valdez and all the women are excited to see Usher. All right, just a reminder, and reminder for all that, guys, use the promo code BIDDIES when you sign up in their app store.
Yes, we appreciate them sponsoring the show all football season long. Thank you to Derek. Thank you to Crab Sports. Thank you guys for using Crab Sports.
All right. Felt like a long show. It was a good one. I have no idea how long we've been going for. I lost track of time.
It's going to be a long one.
It's going to be a fatty.
Yeah, a fatty.
All right.
Jumbo lumped.
All right, guys. Enjoy the Super Bowl, and we'll see you back on the Junkies.
Pray for my hemorrhoid.
All right.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.